It's great to be prayed for 3 times in 5 minutes. So let's pray using David's words. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last time was therapy for me by giving a quiz, as I thought I'd never do it again. That could change this week. Details on Wednesday night. How time flies. I'm wearing this hideous shirt because 20 years ago, Lynn and I were at the airport in Honolulu purchasing a t-shirt that said, "Tell the kids to sell everything, we're never coming home." Hawaii was a great celebration of a great wedding anniversary. 48 years ago today, I got on a plane for the first time. It was a jumbo jet. But in retrospect, what I didn't realize is that it would no longer be normal to check in at the counter and walk straight on the plane. No security check, no pat down, no body scan, just walk on. In those days, passengers were trusted. It has never happened for me since. That was one of the last months without that sort of security. I think I mentioned last time I spoke, or maybe the time before, that when I was 10 or 11, I was amazed that my dad could still do Morse code almost literally without thinking, without a connection consciously between his brain and the dot, 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 dash, dash, dash that his finger tapped out. He'd done it for hundreds of hours in North Africa in World War II, and some things, I guess, you don't forget. So when I came across in my study the Lord's strange expression, "Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing," a special sort of deliberate not knowing, it occurred to me, well, it might be interesting to track down the relatively few times a finger is mentioned in Scripture. So I gave you a sort of pre-quiz last time, and I promise you, you'll get the answers today. You knew them. I'm sure it was just a matter of jogging the memory. We had a great Christmas lunch here, as we'd done for years, about December 22nd. And then 12 Sundays later, we met, though we didn't realize it, for the last time here for a while. It was 12 more weeks until meeting in person began again, and that was 12 weeks ago from today. 12 weeks into the future, it'll be Thanksgiving again, and that's how life goes quickly. As people sometimes say, very long days, weeks that can drag, but months that seem to fly by. Jordan said he needed expressive eyebrows. Thank you in advance. He also said, to my painful recollection, that insanity is doing the same thing twice, hoping for a different result, such as touching a hot stove, which I did with my poor finger when I was 4 years old. In the 21st century, I suppose, my folks could have sued. You don't put a hot paraffin stove in the middle of a shop with no fence around it. So naturally curious, you know, what does this feel like? And it was so painful, I felt, no, this can't be right. Let me try again. Maybe I'm mistaken. Absolute idiocy. Absolute idiocy. Tomorrow, Lord willing, I'll be using these fingers to sign some very important documents. There's no magic in the fingers. It's how they're used in a transaction. So though we're going to look at seven fingers today, it's not anything special, well, maybe in a couple of cases, about the fingers. It's what they signify. Truly today, it's a digital message, because digitus was the Roman word in Jesus' day for a finger. These were digits. So I assume, thanks to binary code, computers work digitally. And it goes back to a verb, an action word. I know you kids have been off school for a while, an action word, which means to show. As far as I know, the finger is the only part of the body named after a verbal activity. It's how we show things to each other, primarily by pointing them out. I assumed that if Clyde were giving this message, he would talk about all the D's digital. There's the finger of the Pharisees, which was demoralizing. The finger of Jesus doing good, delivering, and in its original sense, discriminating, separating from a crime. There's the finger of Lazarus, which could have dampened, but it would always be too distant. And the finger of Thomas, which has variously been interpreted over centuries as doubting or even demanding, but perhaps is best understood as defining. There's a loose connection with the five physical senses. The fingers in the New Testament there's one that's too proud to touch. That's the Pharisees and the lawyers. There's one that miraculously gets so close it restores hearing and speech. Body part touching body part. Lazarus was not allowed. Now, this is not the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. A character with the same name who was very much poor in life but ended up in the best place. He was always going to be too far away to give any taste of relief to the person who really needed it. Jesus insisted, don't wag your fingers at the person you feel superior to. Only throw the stone if you're without sin. And of course, Thomas wanted to use his finger even inside the Lord's body to have full sight. In a way, not to simply have to have faith. In the Old Testament, there are perhaps a few fingers that, in a sense, interlace with the fingers in the New Testament. They teach the same things in Psalm 8. The psalmist reflects on thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. So we're almost beyond imagination. We can't see fingers large enough to make the stars, but that's the picture that we're given. When Moses was doing God's will before Pharaoh, and Aaron struck the dust of the ground and it turned to lice. Oh yes, September, back to school, lice checks. We had them in the 50s, nothing new. When the dust turned to lice, Pharaoh's magicians knew they couldn't simulate the trick. They said, this is the finger of God. So consistent with that, Exodus 31:18, the two tables of testimony, the Ten Commandments as we know them, were written with the finger of God. A very personal as well as powerful inscription in rock, which we don't get very often in scripture. Job wishes on one occasion his words could be engraved in rock, but he would use an iron stylus. He didn't have a finger powerful enough to cut into rock. God's finger did that. 12 times in Leviticus, God instructs the priest to sprinkle blood with the finger, not with a cup, not with a sopping piece of cloth, not out of a bowl, not through a filter, but with a human finger. In Daniel chapter 5, the fingers of a man's hand wrote on the wall of a king's palace, giving him the message, your time is up, as indeed within hours it was. I'm leaving one other finger in the Old Testament out. We will get to it. Let's take a quick journey through the 6 or 7 New Testament fingers, and I invite you to consider this week, 2021, with maybe new responsibilities beginning, new challenges. Leah's not the only one who begins a new job this week. Our younger son-in-law has a new job with more pay, which is great, with more pressure, which is the exciting challenge. Whatever you're facing this week, I invite you to think, which of the fingers in the New Testament is the one that could be most important to you in your present situation? It's highly unlikely, I think, that the same finger will apply to everyone in any group of over 20 believers. And of course, it's entirely up to you if you tell anyone, well, this is my finger of the week, so to speak. So it's your private application. I'm certainly not going to suggest that any of the fingers is always the most important in every believer's experience, but it could be, and I hope it is, that one of them will be particularly helpful or challenging to you and me as August again dribbles into September and the weather starts to change and another year hastens to an end. No matter how strong our fingers, we can't stop time, nor should we try to. We can happily look back. And in a way, very often in the believer's life, there were times when we had no idea why we did what we did, but God was working through our actions and choices. We didn't know what we know now. We didn't realize the full significance of the action we took or the decision we made. Perhaps even the conversation we had. There are probably many whose full results we won't find out till we're in heaven. So we can't say we live in any sense knowing the full consequences of even trivial actions, words, thoughts. But we are assured that all of them are consequential. Let's begin in Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 4, a severe warning from Jesus himself. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat when they teach the law. In a sense, they're assuming Moses' authority. They bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne. Nobody likes to carry something too heavy for them. And they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And a similar, though I don't think it's identical, occasion in Luke chapter 11, verse 46. I thought of putting all these on a handout for you, but as I think I've mentioned from the podium, in this day and age, since I don't know where the paper at UPS has been, I put the songs out at the back for at least 48 hours before any of you touch them, so they're hygienic. I didn't want to bring freshly minted handouts today, but down the road, perhaps. Luke 11:46, and Jesus said, "Woe unto you also, you lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens." You put burdens on people, grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. So the first finger is the finger of guilting other people. You have to do this. You have to carry this burden, and don't ask me to help you. In fact, earlier in Matthew 23, Jesus says, "Watch what they say, but don't do what they do." So maybe you're facing a situation where you can lift a finger to help, or certainly not put a burden on somebody else. In a way, that's the situation I'm facing, and it's an easy yes, I'll do it on the one hand, the other. It's not sure if I want to. I'll let you know Wednesday night. Mark chapter 7. One or perhaps two fingers of the Lord himself, the fingers that brought hearing and speech. Mark chapter 7, verse 32. They bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Perhaps understandably, if you can't hear clearly, you copy incorrectly the sounds of words. And they beseech Jesus to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he did what he was asked to do. He put his hand, specifically his fingers, into his ears. And I'm sure this guy momentarily wondered what's going on. And Jesus bit. One place where we learn that Jesus, fully human, had saliva, like everybody else. He spit and touched his tongue, I assume, with the finger he had spat upon. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, probably to make sure the guy did not think the magic was in the finger, but in the power of the one administering the healing saliva, said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened, open up. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. How does this apply to us? Jesus heeded the request. In fact, he maybe heeded it more literally than any of the crowd expected. Privately, he helped. He helped literally through the touch of a finger or two and one word. Maybe someone here is facing a situation where we see the need of somebody and a word, or even literally a helping hand, a finger touch, will suffice. I had a colleague many years ago, he died 10 years ago, he gave me permission to share the story. Perfect example of not knowing not just what your right hand is doing, but what your whole body is doing. Explanation: he had a brain tumor, but did not realize it at the time. He was heading into the building where we both had an office on campus, and suddenly his body refused to go into the building, and he felt the strange disconnect between brain and muscles. He literally could not control his body. Now, he was a big guy. For years and years, he was weightlifting champion of New York State. As a teenager, in his 20s, in his 30s, he just went up through the age groups. But strength couldn't make the electrical connection at that point. So the way he explained it to me, he just relaxed and was curious to see, where am I going? His body took him a quarter of a mile or more to the gym on campus where he often worked out. And he said it wasn't until his finger touched the handle of his locker that the connection suddenly came back. The biological explanation became apparent. Surgery saved his life, though there were other medical issues later. a salutary reminder that we can be super fit and still out of control. And even occasionally that just the touch of a finger can change things. He didn't heal himself. In this case, it was Jesus' physical touch. He didn't touch every person he healed, but here, the example leads to the challenge for us. Is there someone we are in a position to help this week? And it may be a digital connection. There might be something on your computer you can do to help. Or I suspect in Leah's case, an actual hands-on application. Our younger daughter's a physical therapist for me. 2 years ago today, I could not walk. I was in such pain. Time and the appropriate exercises took me through it. Fingertip touch can be powerful. Let's stay with Jesus, right? Luke chapter 11, verse 19. He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, not allowed to speak. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb man spoke. His speech was restored. And the people wondered, the old word for filled with wonder. In verse 20, Jesus told them, if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, there is no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. The finger of God. He went way beyond saying, my powerful finger. He echoed, perhaps, the warning that the king got when the hand wrote on the wall. The power, the moral power that Moses saw when God's finger wrote in the rock, the moral code in its shortest form. What would be the equivalent for us? We can pray for folks who seem permanently reluctant to hear the truth of the gospel. Maybe it's the only thing we can do for them. My dad started a prayer group in the 1970s specifically to pray for the fall of communism in the USSR. He lived just to see at least the fall of the Berlin Wall and the crumbling of Soviet power. He would never say, my power or my prayers or the letters I wrote, but prayer can change history, and the Lord expects his people purposefully to reach out with their fingers of commitment to whatever obstacles are looming presently. The present unrest is nothing compared to what was happening in the USSR decades ago, but it could turn out to be something like that. God's people should be prayer warriors, following Jesus' example of calling on the power of the finger of God, even to cast out devils. Moving quickly, Luke chapter 16. The rich man and Lazarus. We won't focus except on one detail. Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. I'm sure you know the story. The rich man, who isn't even given a name, Dives just means rich. He cried in verse 24 and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, not that he may get me out of here, not that he may read good things to help me, but something very strangely specific. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Already the rich guy knew that he could not expect release, but he was hoping for a permanent rush of temperature change, which a drop of water conceivably could bring. We're not told specifically what would have happened. We sense the guy's desperation. Just give me one drop of help. But Jesus goes on to explain through the words of Abraham in the story he's telling, there's a great gulf fixed. You can't get there from here, and those over in Abraham's bosom can't come to you. There's no question of throwing water, let alone touching with healing water. We'll hold off the application for a moment. John chapter 8, perhaps the second most famous of the fingers in the New Testament, the finger of the lawgiver who did not condemn. Lazarus had the finger of a man who was too far away to help and not allowed to, even if he wanted to. Jesus was close, and he reminded anyone with insight, I have the authority to decide this case. They brought to him a woman who by Moses' law clearly needed executing. It was a setup. Assuming even that everything they said was true and the witnesses were reliable, how would Jesus react? Well, he began by doing the unexpected, which of course he often did. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. At least that would have been their impression. Why is he taking time to write on the ground? Well, the finger of God in Scripture has already appeared. The finger that wrote the Ten Commandments, the finger that warned of immediate justice in the king's palace. It could have been either. The finger that would unleash punishment on false accusers, or a guilty woman, or would say, as it mutely did, I wrote the Ten Commandments, including the one you say she broke. In fact, when Jesus says, let he who is without sin throw the first stone, the pattern of the words have often been taken to mean, let the one of you who has not committed the same sin with her throw the first stone. And from oldest to youngest, they slipped away because the stones in their fingers were no match for the writing, whatever it was, we're not told, in the sand. When they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. If you want to implement Moses' law, make sure you haven't broken it yourself. Again, he He stooped down and wrote on the ground, and probably didn't even look round as they realized they'd been caught in the dilemma. Faced with sinful behavior, do I let the Lord be judge if somebody sins against me, or somebody comes to me at work and says, you know what so-and-so did last week? Do I leave it in the Lord's hands? And if I do take any action, am I sure it's with the Lord's blessing? Am I a stone thrower, or somebody who heeds the written word of God? And lastly, John chapter 20, perhaps the most famous finger, the finger of the disciple who was moving towards faith. Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails. And now a really gross statement. And put my finger into the print of the nails. The Roman nails, as you probably know, were half an inch wide. They went in the wrists. There was space to put a finger. And Thomas actually said, I want physical contact to be sure my Lord is risen. And then it gets worse, and thrust, not gently touch, but shove, not quite a punch, but deliberate, purposeful, forceful movement of a clenched hand. Thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So 8 days later, when Jesus graciously gives Thomas the chance, he does not give him a sermon. The wounds in my wrist are for your redemption. He does not quote Old Testament prophecy. Instead, amazingly, he says, reach hither thy finger. And the form of the command is, come on, do it. I know you want to exercise what you've already in imagination been doing. Reach your finger here. And he probably pointed to one of the wounds. I don't think even the Lord could point to both simultaneously. And behold, take a good look at my hands. He didn't emphasize my wounded hands or my pierced hands. In language too, he left it for Thomas to check by physical, digital contact. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. He picks up on Thomas's own words. It's a violent act, almost like the act of a surgeon invading a body. Don't be without faith, but have faith. Don't be faithless, but believing. How does this apply to us? Perhaps we may feel we've missed a blessing, or in some sense we're too late for God's blessing on a venture we've undertaken. Do I go just by my senses? Or do I realize the Lord is gracious and in a sense still says to his children, I'll give you the proof you need, but you need faith with the attitude. So here's your homework, should you wish to take it. In your own time, check out Isaiah chapter 58. Don't wait for Jordan. It'll take 5 years for Jordan to get to Isaiah chapter 58. From verses 6 through 14, you will find 5 or 6 of the finger activities we've looked at in the New Testament. to take two cases, Isaiah 58, 9 and 10. How is God going to hear the cry of his people? You shall call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. God will draw close to his people if, the big if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke. Don't put a yoke on others in the church. The putting forth of the finger, that is accusing people. Don't do that. And speaking vanity, literally, don't talk about emptiness. It's not the empty hole in the hand that saves us. It was the Lord's assumption of our sins in the rest of his body. The wounds were just to keep him on the cross. The wounds will remind us in heaven of the physical price he paid. But the Lord does not want us to talk vanity of empty things, except perhaps the empty tomb. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, don't be like the rich guy who didn't give Lazarus scraps, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise. Verse 11, thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. You'll have healing moisture to give by the fingertip or the cupful to people who need it, people in the kingdom already and people who still need to be brought in. The word finger is connected with showing. Each of the fingers in the Bible, not too many of them, point to an important truth, and they each suggest an application to us. Which finger this week is going to be important for you? The finger that lifts the burden or helps somebody to hear, in a sense gives a lifeline to others? Or the Lord's finger in his word, let me take care of this. I'm the one who can rightly judge and if need be punish. And if I feel I've missed out on a blessing, oh, said Thomas, why wasn't I there? Well, here are my conditions. No, we're not to go by our senses or a sense of just behavior on his part, but trusting that the Lord will in detail bring us his blessing in his time if we're faithful to him. Oh, I could have told you about an electric shock I had one time. I'll never forget. I could have told you about the fingernail I crushed, but those stories, maybe another day, and not as important as the fingers in Scripture if we read them aright. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truths and the examples in your word. Help us, in a sense, to choose the finger that can be of assistance to our memory and our conduct, our speech, our decisions, our thoughts, even in the next few days ahead. We ask you to bring us back safely together here next Sunday as your will for our lives unfolds. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.